Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You are just in time for the beginning of the end, the fourth and final hour, the Bobby Mack Show here on Hump Day. Never made that 65 degrees today, did we? Ah, well, another forecast gone wrong. Let's do that. Grab the phone. Use the Ingles Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. That's what meteorologists refer to as busting out, by the way, when you miss the forecast. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number 71307. My email address, bob@1063word.com. You know, one of the things that rarely is discussed and should be more probably is the success of President Trump in his nominations to the federal courts. It is now approaching, if it has not already hit, 200 appointees to the federal courts across America. I think we have something like 900 federal district court judges. And these are our lifetime appointments. So bear in mind, there are still numerous Obama appointees on there, some Clinton appointees on there, some Bush appointees on there as well. But now 200 of them who are going to be there probably for decades, have been appointed by Donald Trump. And this news today, a federal appeals court today handed a major win to the Trump administration in its fight against sanctuary jurisdictions, ruling it can deny grant money to states that refuse to cooperate with federal immigration authorities. I mean, look, all ICE is doing is enforcing laws passed by Congress, by many of those politicians who are still there. The Second Circuit Court of Appeals in New York overturned a lower court ruling that stopped the administration's 2017 move to withhold grant money from the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant Program. That program dispenses over $250 million a year to state and local criminal justice efforts. Quote, today's decision rightfully recognizes the lawful authority of the Attorney General to ensure that Department of Justice grant recipients are not at the same time thwarting federal law enforcement priorities, said the DOJ. The grant conditions here require states and cities that receive DOJ grants to share information about criminals in custody. The federal government uses this information to enforce national immigration laws, policies supported by successive Democrat and Republican administrations. You know, it wasn't that long ago, Pelosi and Schumer, President Slick Willie, I want you to listen to me. They were all in favor of border walls and all the rest. But before, of course, they recognized the advantage to their party of having more illegals pour across the border unimpeded and end up voting for Democrats eventually. All Americans will benefit from increased public safety as this administration is able to implement its lawful immigration and public safety policies, statement concluded. The latest decision conflicts with rulings from other appeals courts across the country concerning sanctuary policies, indicating a Supreme Court review is ultimately likely. But in the meantime, New York City and liberal states, including New York, Washington, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, sued the government, and the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York backed them, ordering the money be released and stopping the government from putting immigration-related conditions on the grants. But the appeals court ruled it cannot agree that the federal government must be enjoined from imposing the challenged conditions on the federal grants here at issue. These conditions help the federal government enforce national immigration laws and policies supported by successive Democratic and Republican administrations, but more to the authorization point, they ensure that applicants satisfy particular statutory grant requirements imposed by Congress and subject to the oversight of the Attorney General. So these cities are going to face a decision. Either they give up the money and they keep their sanctuary city policies, or they bend to the will of the law. Mike Howell with the Heritage Foundation, former member of Homeland Security, told Fox News the ruling is potentially an important development considering the dependence of states like New York on the DOG grant money. When you look at the amount of money that flows in via grants generally, the federal government has a lot of power over states and localities. If you open the door to the federal government being able to condition that grant money, it's a huge deal. Sanctuary policies generally forbid local law enforcement from honoring ICE detainers that they be alerted to an illegal immigrant's release from custody so they can be picked up by ICE and put through deportation proceedings. In fact, just the other day, I saw that ICE was defying California and Los Angeles by going to the courthouse and picking people up there. Hey, good to see you. Bye. Proponents of the policies claim it makes cities safer because it encourages illegal immigrants to cooperate with police without fear of deportation, but the Trump administration has been relentlessly pushing back by highlighting cases in which criminals are released onto the streets only to re-offend. So, nice to see that for once we get... And this whole business of some federal district court judge being able to issue a restraining order. You know, these judges, they might represent one city, multiple counties. They don't represent the entire nation. And yet, here they are issuing these national restraining orders. Bobby, Money, Penny, and Annie, do we have a little Operation Chaos Light going on in the website polls? 50-50 votes for and against building a wall. Either Democrat trolls or there are a lot more moderates out there than I thought would be listening to your show. No reflection on the outstanding job your team does. Just kind of gives me the willies. Yeah, I hear you. I suspect there is some effort being made to play fast and loose with the polling data. Bobster, are you a climate denier? I must be. It's a balmy 64 in Malden right now. Really? Because it's 55 here. Is that 64 in your house? Bobby, those federal court judges will be there for years, unless, of course, they kill themselves. Yeah, like Epstein, right? Got to take a quick break here. When we come back on the other side, I came across this earlier today, and I thought, well, this is interesting. Because, you know, I've been fighting this horrible, cold, upper respiratory infection, whatever you want to call it. And so I've been taking a ton of different kinds of meds. And you know as well as I do, you get that stuff out, and it's as if the manufacturer said, hey, I know you're sick. And I know you need this medicine, which is why we put it in this steel-encased container that you need C4 to get open. This and more is on the way here on the Bobby Mac Show on Hump Day.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Work, 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 work.
I know it's ceaseless. It's never ending. Right again, Governor LePetitmaine. Bobby Mac Show, where for 4 hours each weekday, Monday through Friday, we slave away over a hot microphone and computer terminal. In on the text line 71307. Bobby, have we missed the coronavirus update already? No, the coronavirus update is still on the way. Bobby, that poll about the wall is BS. It should be 90-10, not 50-50. Trolls everywhere. Hey, texter from Malden. It's 53 here, and I'm in Malden, too. Where are you, in Malden, Florida? Bobby, I wonder what'll happen when the Dems figure out Asians are the fastest-growing segment of the population. Bobby, after watching clips of the debate last night, there's just no way I could vote for any of those fools in Operation Chaos. Gotcha. Anything else that I need to catch up on? Bobby, I think Crazy Bernie's too dangerous. In the general election, his supporters will pull out all the stops in committing election fraud in every form. Socialists and communists have done it all over the world for decades. They have brought election fraud to an art form. Yeah, but then there's the old saying, it's hard to steal a landslide. 22 after 6, and as I mentioned before I went to the break, some of the packaging that we have to deal with these days can be hard to contend with. I mean, you're sick already. And then you get whatever it may be. In this case, I think it was Mucinex. And you have to have a Bowie knife handy and a hammer to be able to carve the medication out of the packaging. And then again, watching TV, here comes the Geico commercial with the raccoon stealing the garbage truck, bouncing off the walls of a dark alley while they drive. And at the bottom of the screen in small print, quote, "Professional driver on closed course, don't try at home." What do you think of this, Bob Betts? Money Penny, Little Annie. Make sense to you? Don't try this at home. Yeah, that's a great suggestion. Don't go out, grab a garbage truck, and go stunt driving.
You pulled yours here today, right?
A what?
You drove yours here today.
My garbage truck?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I bounced it off a few walls on the way here, too.
Is that what happened to the building outside at the back?
It may be. Ooh. It's only minimal damage, though. But it got me thinking, you know, about these stupid warning labels. And again, this goes back to, once again, too many lawyers, right? Oh, you know, if you're going to put this commercial on, you got to put a warning label on there about raccoons driving a garbage truck? Okay. So we compiled a few, and if you have some of your own, you're welcome to chime in with Bob and the Bobettes on these. Here's a few that we just pulled out at random. Not intended for highway use on a wheelbarrow. Okay?
I thought you were going to say on a Maypop.
Remove child before folding on a stroller. Uh-oh. Sorry, little Johnny. Once used rectally, the thermometer should not be used orally. Warning label on thermometer. You know the difference, Moneypenny, between an oral thermometer and a rectal thermometer?
Oh, please tell me.
The taste.
That is so bad.
That is bad.
That is so bad.
How about, these are real, okay? Notice, drivers do not carry burritos on a Chipotle truck. Stick them up, buddy. This is a hijacking. Give me all your burritos. Never use a lit match or open flame to check fuel levels on a jet ski. Yeah, sound advice. May cause drowsiness. Use care when operating a vehicle. You know what that warning label is on?
Alcohol.
Dog medicine. May cause drowsiness. Use care when operating a vehicle. Yeah. Up, oh, Fido's behind the wheel again. Warning, has been found to cause cancer in laboratory mice. That's the warning label on a box of rat poison. Thanks for the heads up on that one. Do not iron while wearing shirt. On a shirt. Talk about belaboring the obvious. May contain nuts. On a can of nuts. Can of nuts. Yeah, may contain nuts. Careful. Caution, risk of fire. On fireplace logs. I kind of thought that was the idea. But I may be mistaken. You know? So, do we really have that many people that, you know, like try and use a blow dryer in the shower? Or,
I knew someone that built a special stand for his wife just so that she could go to sleep with one blowing at night.
Okay.
Because, quote, I can't sleep without it.
Well, good. Do not eat. That was on the silica gel pouches in a bag of beef jerky. Ooh, that looks good.
You mentioned too many lawyers. It's not too many lawyers. It's too many stupid people. At least one person has done this and gotten hurt on each one of the warnings that you're giving us.
I guess. Now, I guess, you know, if we're going to carry this to its illogical conclusion, if we had a warning label for this show, it would be, what, Little Annie? If we had a warning label for this show, what would it say?
Wait a minute. Oh,
yeah, it might say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're listening to this guy?
must be this tall, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, must be this tall to be on the radio.
That's right. And all of us would not be allowed.
Yeah. Warning, liquid may come out of your nose on certain parts of
it. Yeah, that's true. Yep. That's true. Warning, liquid may emanate or coffee. May emanate through your nose.
Warning, could increase blood pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Warning, liberals should listen with caution.
Socialists, not allowed.
That's right. Yeah, commies unwelcome. Yeah. Mercy. 6:29 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Annie is ready in the news center, and we're all right back on the other side here on the Hump Day edition on WORD. Welcome back, Bobby Mack Show here at 6:37. The president is speaking at the White House, and we join that in progress.
Condolences will be with them, and it's a terrible thing, terrible thing.
I'm starting talking about the shooting in Milwaukee.
So our hearts go out to the people of Wisconsin and to the families. Thank you very much. I've just received another briefing from a great group of talented people on the virus that is going around to various parts of the world. We have, through some very good early decisions, decisions that were actually ridiculed at the beginning, we closed up our borders to flights coming in from certain areas, areas that were hit by the coronavirus and hit pretty hard. And we did it very early. A lot of people thought we shouldn't have done it that early, and we did, and it turned out to be a very good thing. And the number one priority from our standpoint is the health and safety of the American people. And that's the way I viewed it when I made that decision. Because of all we've done, the risk to the American people remains very low. And we have the greatest experts in the world, really in the world, right here. The people that are called upon by other countries when things like this happen. We're ready to adapt, and we're ready to do whatever we have to as the disease spreads, if it spreads. As most of you know, the level that we've had in our country is very low, and those people are getting better, or we think that in almost all cases, the better are getting. We have a total of 15. We took in some from Japan. You heard about that, because they're American citizens and they're in quarantine. And they're getting better, too. But we felt we had an obligation to do that. It could have been as many as 42. And we found that it was just an obligation we felt that we had. We could have left them, and that would have been very bad, I think, American people. And they're recovering. Of the 15 people, the original 15, as I call them, 8 of them have returned to their homes, to stay in their homes until fully recovered. 1 is in the hospital, and 5 have fully recovered. And one is, we think, in pretty good shape. And it's in between hospital and going home. So we have a total of, we have a total of 15 people, and they're in a process of recovering, with some already having fully recovered. We started out by looking at certain things. We've been working with the Hill very, very carefully, very strongly, and I think we have very good bipartisan spirit for money. We were asking for $2.5 billion, and we think that's a lot, but the Democrats and I guess Senator Schumer wants us to have much more than that. And normally in life, I'd say, we'll take it. We'll take it. If they want to give more, we'll do more. We're going to spend whatever's appropriate. Hopefully, we're not going to have to spend so much, because we really think we've done a great job in keeping it down to a minimum. And again, we've had tremendous success beyond what people would have thought. Now, at the same time, you do have some outbreaks in some countries. Italy and various countries are having some difficulty. China, you know about where it started. I spoke with President Xi. We had a great talk. He's working very hard, I have to say. He's working very, very hard. And if you can count on the reports coming out of China, that spread has gone down quite a bit. The infection seems to have come down over the last 2 days. As opposed to getting larger, it's actually gotten smaller. In one instance where we think it's somewhat reliable, it seems to have gotten quite a bit smaller. With respect to the money that's being negotiated, they can do whatever they want. I mean, we'll do the 2.5. We're requesting 2.5. Some Republicans would like us to get 4, and some Democrats would like us to get 8.5, and we'll be satisfied whatever it is. We're bringing in a specialist, very highly regarded specialist, tomorrow, who works actually at the State Department, very, very tremendously talented in doing this. I want you to understand something that shocked me when I saw it, that I spoke with Dr. Fauci on this, and I was really amazed, and I think most people are amazed to hear it. The flu in our country kills from 25,000 people to 69,000 people a year. That was shocking to me. And so far, if you look at what we have with the 15 people and they're recovering, one is pretty sick, but hopefully will recover. But the others are in great shape. But think of that, 25,000 to 69,000. Over the last 10 years, we've lost 360,000. These are people that have died from the flu, from what we call the flu. Hey, did you get your flu shot? And that's something. Now, what we've done is we've stopped non-U.S. citizens from coming into America from China. That was done very early on. We're screening people, and we have been at a very high level, screening people coming into the country from infected areas. We have in quarantine those infected and those at risk. We have a lot of great quarantine facilities. We're rapidly developing a vaccine, and they can speak to you. The professionals can speak to you about that. The vaccine is coming along well, and in speaking to the doctors, we think this is something that we can develop fairly rapidly, a vaccine for the future, and coordinate with the support of our partners. We have great relationships with all of the countries that we're talking about. Some, it's a fairly large number of countries. Some, it's one person. And many countries have no problem whatsoever. And we'll see what happens. But we're very, very ready for this, for anything, whether it's going to be a breakout of larger proportions or whether or not we're, you know, we're at that very low level. And we want to keep it that way. So we're at the low level. As they get better, we take them off the list so that we're going to be pretty soon at only 5 people. And we could be at just 1 or 2 people over the next short period of time. So we've had very good luck. The Johns Hopkins, I guess it is, a highly respected, great place. They did a study, comprehensive, the country's best and worst prepared for an epidemic. And the United States is now, we're rated number one. We're rated number one for being prepared. This is a list of different countries. I don't want to get in your way, especially since you do such a good job. This is a list of the different countries. United States is rated number one, most prepared. United Kingdom, Netherlands, Australia, Canada, Thailand, Sweden, Denmark, South Korea, Finland. This is a list of the best rated countries in the world by Johns Hopkins. We're doing something else that's important to me because he's been terrific in many ways, but he's also very good on health care. And we really followed him very closely. A lot of states do. When Mike was governor, Mike Pence of Indiana, they've established great health care. They have a great system there, a system that a lot of the other states have really looked to and changed their systems. They wanted to base it on the Indiana system. He's very good. And I think, and he's really very expert at the field. And what I've done is I'm going to be announcing exactly right now that I'm going to be putting our Vice President Mike Pence in charge. And Mike will be working with the professionals, doctors, and everybody else that's working. The team is brilliant. I spent a lot of time with the team over the last couple of weeks, but they're totally brilliant. And we're doing really well. And Mike is going to be in charge, and Mike will report back to me. But he's got a certain talent for this, and I'm going to ask Mike Pence to say a few words, please.
Okay. Thank you. That is President Trump speaking from the White House this afternoon, bringing us up to date on the situation with COVID-19, pointing out that the regular flu, whichever strain it may be, kills on average between 25,000 and 69,000 people per year, and we have 15 here in the U.S., that have been attacked by COVID-19. The president going on to talk about some of the efforts they have made in preparation for preventing a pandemic, including non-U.S. citizens being blocked to entry from this country by some of the areas where they've had COVID-19 breakouts, quarantining U.S. citizens who have come back, like those from the Diamond Princess in Japan. He says a vaccine is in the works, and the folks at Johns Hopkins have done a study that shows that the United States is the top-rated country in the world in preparation. And then right here at the end, announcing that Vice President Mike Pence will essentially be, I guess for lack of a better description, the coronavirus czar on this. He'll be the guy in charge of making sure that all the preparations are done that need to be done. So that's President Trump at the White House this evening. 6:48 now, dozen before 7 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a quick break here and then be right back as we get ready to wrap things up here on Hump Day on 106.3 WORD. Welcome back. Great to have you along. So we just heard the president speaking from the White House this evening, talking about the COVID-19, the coronavirus, and the efforts that are being made by the administration to prevent a pandemic or the spread of it over here. One thing that was interesting in the president's remarks that stuck out to me, he was talking about how President Xi in China has been essentially going nuts trying to tamp this thing down over there. And he mentioned that the number of cases that have been reported over the last 2 days appear to be declining. But then he added something to the effect of, and I'm paraphrasing here, if these numbers can be trusted or if these reports are accurate. Because, of course, there has been a great deal of speculation that the Chinese Communist government has played fast and loose with the information that they have released and some of the reports that we have seen, some of the videos, very disturbing stuff, people being locked into their own homes, others being taken away in vans. And we don't know to what the destination may be, where these people are being taken. The Chaikom government, of course, is telling us, well, these people are being taken to the hospital. But knowing the attitude of Red China towards human life, you wonder if they're being taken to a hospital or if they're being taken someplace warehoused to keep them out of circulation or what. So I thought it was interesting that that President Trump mentioned sort of as an aside the number of cases declining in China from their sources. And alluding to, you know, if this information is correct. I think that may have been more what he actually said, if this information is correct. But you could interpret that also, given the history of the Chaikoms in their lack of transparency, which is the most diplomatic way I can think of saying their level of secrecy that they're imposing on this leads us to hope that what they're saying is correct. But as the president also mentioned, there have been additional reports of the spread of the novel COVID-19 virus. Somebody texted earlier today, too, and said, Bob, why are they referring to this as the novel COVID-19? That's merely a buzzword that the medical community uses for a virus that has not been seen before. It's novel. It's new. About some of the cautionary messages that you see on packages, on the chemical heating packet in an MRE, do not eat. Yeah, I would say that's good advice. Bobby, as evidenced by the president's remarks this evening, it appears he's interested in protecting the American people, not making the world happy. Good on him. Bobby Mack Show warning label. Warning, truth told here. Listen at your own risk. Bobby, a Korean Airlines flight attendant diagnosed with the coronavirus after making several trips into and out of Los Angeles. Yeah, I saw that story this evening, and there was this as well. Where'd that? Yeah, here we go. Hang on. Yeah. Earlier today, Turkish Airline passenger plane TK-879 made an emergency landing. 12 passengers presented with high fever, concern it may be coronavirus. Plane was traveling from Tehran to Istanbul, Turkey. We'll keep you posted. Thanks so much for being along this evening. We will see you tomorrow. God bless.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter, every time we say goodbye, goodbye.
You say goodbye, and I say hello. What?
Hello, I must be going. I must be going.
So long, farewell, our feet are saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'll be back.
Goodbye to you.
Goodbye.
Until our next show. Goodbye from us to you.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Goodbye.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.